Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. This is a live program. Should say maybe this is a new program. The last couple of days were pre-recorded and from the past. I was just too busy at school. Christmas season and all these things that are going on. They even had me do an announcing for a basketball game. If that doesn't tell you how hard up they're getting for announcers. We will be having all new material this week, so don't, those of you that are left out there in the radio land, don't think that we'll be pushing you off again. And the website family, my apologies. We will be getting some stuff going here today. We're going to continue this series, Are You Looking Forward to the Tribulation? Now, we spent the last previous programs looking at all the doctrinal teachings that will be taking place in order for it to be true during the tribulation. Unfortunately, those doctrines are being taught today. That is considered a false gospel, according to Paul in Galatians chapter 1. Because that isn't what Paul taught. And what was taught in the Gospels to the Jews by Jesus and then the 12 apostles after he died, that's not Paul's teachings. Paul taught that he died, buried, rose again. Of course he did. And he taught all about Jesus, but he taught about the risen Jesus. And the things that Paul taught were taught to him by the risen Savior, not the gospel doctrine. I've heard people say that he goes back to this and he goes back to that. Well, sure, because there are some things that God wants to be taught through all the dispensations. But to think that you need to go back to the Hebrews, to think that you need to go back to the Gospels, and then you start studying and teaching those things, it's asinine to think that story. It's so ridiculous to think that you would have to do that. Jesus Christ died, but he rose again. And he went to the Gentiles because the Great Commission failed, and they went to the Gentiles through Paul, and that's what we are today. Now, these doctrines that are being taught are tribulational doctrines, and they will be taught during the tribulation. Those are things from Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude. That is tribulation doctrine. I heard in the news today that the latest hotspot for Christianity growing and taking fire is in China. Well, first of all, we know it's not Paul's teaching that's taking fire in China. It's the Gospels. It's Jesus' teachings. It's these teachings right here from the tribulation books. It's the teachings from the Gospels. I guarantee that. I promise that 100%. Because if it wasn't, it wouldn't be any more popular than it is with you out there in the listening world. So, of course, the Antichrist has got to get the whole world involved. He's the Antichrist. So he's got to take Christian teachings to the whole world, and the whole world's going to accept it. He's even getting palsy-walsy with the Muslims more and more. Give it time, and they'll merge that thing together. So the teachings of Jesus to the Jews, teachings of Jesus as a false gospel, Antichrist will be using those teachings today to get people to look to him because that's a false gospel. It's that simple, I tell you. He's doing signs and wonders. Revelation 13 tells us about that. 2 Thessalonians tells us about that. Matthew tells us about that. Everything is going according to plan. Nothing to fear, folks, other than the fact that you got a false gospel. I'm not saying any denomination. All denominations are religion. You can have a non-denominational religion, which, by the way, claiming to be non-denominational makes you denominational. But at any rate, we're going to go into another segment of this tribulation. So we've told you ahead of time what you're going to have to be doing during the tribulation, and you'll find yourself happy because you already believe that kind of doctrinal teaching, so you just kind of flow right into it. But here's some other things that we're going to look into concerning this tribulation that's either next day, in a couple of weeks, in a couple of months, in a couple of years. Remember, China's being witness to it right now, and the gospel's just taking China like a storm, I guess you would say. I can't remember that. I can't think of that kind of a phrase, but anyway, of course it will. It has to. The Antichrist teachings using Jesus has to engulf the whole world. And that's pretty much close. It takes it back right down to the Mideast, and there we are, right back where it started from. Is God behind this? Not at all. Is the Holy Spirit traveling the world? Not at all. He's already been around the world for the truth, the King James Bible. Now the Antichrist is following behind it and talking people out of the truth, talking to people out of the King James Bible. And what about these countries that don't have English? Well, let's taste money trail that just for a second here. It's in Romans chapter 10. Here's how you answer that question. People that say, well, what about these people in different countries that don't know English? Well, here, let me show this to you. Romans chapter, and then we'll get in tribulation. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Now that's not the peace of the peacemakers and the Beatitudes. That's the peace that Paul teaches from the risen Savior. Paul teaches a peace. Is it an earthly physical peace? To a point it is, but not like it was during the gospel days. Paul's peace is a peace that passeth all understanding, but it's a spiritual peace. And if you don't understand that what that is, you have no clue what we're talking about in this program. I am sure of that. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how do you get this King James Bible to all these other countries? With a preacher. That preacher knows that language of that country, but what does that preacher have to have? He's got to have the word of truth. He's got to have that King James Bible. He's got to have the word of God. Is it going to be written down for them? No, you can't take these purified, inspired, preserved, purified words and put them in any other language. They don't fit. Now, just a thought. I mean, I say the phrase there, the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sure, their faith grows by hearing what? Hearing the word of God. But the King James Bible is the only Bible that teaches that if they call upon the name of the Lord in verse 13, the King James Bible is the only Bible that tells people they receive the faith of Jesus Christ. We have faith in Christ, which gives you the faith of Christ, only in the King James Bible. No Spanish Bible, no French Bible, nothing. Okay? So that preacher's got to understand rightly dividing the word of truth, and that preacher's got to go, so then faith cometh by hearing. A preacher's going to tell them, how shall they preach except they be sent? King James Bible. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. That's Paul's gospel. Okay, with that phrase, the word of God, I noticed something the other day which I had never noticed before, and that's in chapter 19 of Revelation, referring to the word of God. There's an interesting comment I saw. I'm getting to the pages here. This is where in verse 11, for example, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Now listen to this right here. It says, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. His name was written. They could see it, but they didn't know what it was. Now look at verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. So in verse 12, we see that he has a name written. No man knew what it was, but yet it was right there. His name was called the Word of God. So they didn't know that. No man knew he had a name written. And his name is called the Word of God. You got to think on that for a minute. These people didn't know that his name was the Word of God. Do people not know today that Jesus Christ's name is the Word of God? Well, why would they? Everybody's got all these different Bibles out there. Nobody believes the Bible to be the Word of God anymore. Each to their own kind of a thing. And in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, capital W, and dwelt among us. Do they know that? Are people aware that the King James Bible would be the Word of God? Well, they'll fight that. But they also won't tell you that their NIV is the Word of God. If they say anything, they'll say it contains the Word of God. But is it the Word of God? Is it in 1 Corinthians 13:10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away? Are they waiting for the word of God to come during the second coming? If they are, and these are a lot of the King James guys, they don't say that verse 10 is the King James Bible. Well, if that's true, and they're waiting for the word of God to come in Revelation 19, then folks, in chapter 13, verse 8, prophecies, tongues, and this knowledge without a Bible is still taking place. So if you're waiting for the word of God to come in Revelation 19, you don't need a King James Bible. You don't need any Bible. You believe in that anointing. You believe in that unction. You believe in that power of prayer, that God will teach you something so you can pass it on. You can live it yourself. God loves everyone, etc., etc. And here comes all the doctrine that Jesus taught to the Jews. It'll all fit in. You've got signs through wonders and miracles, all that stuff. You should be able to drink poison, mess around with snakes, the whole deal. I mean, all that Pentecostal stuff should be working. And yes, you Pentecostals ought to be happy. I don't know why a Pentecostal would have a King James Bible. If they do, they don't rightly divide it for them to find out. See, is that 1 Corinthians 13:10? Because see, I believe that's the word of God. That's the King James Bible. Paul knew that when that which is perfect means finished, means it's done, it's completed. When it comes, then tongues and this prophecy stuff and this knowledge from above, kind of this inner sanctum of knowledge, goes away. You need that Bible to tell you the truth. You need that Bible to cut away your soul from the flesh. You need that Bible to give you all that prophecy. You need the Bible to show you the language you need to learn. That's English. You need the Bible to give you that knowledge of the risen Savior, knowledge of the earthly Jesus, the knowledge of the commandments of the law from the Old Testament, the knowledge of Adam and Eve, the knowledge of the tribulation. It's all in that King James Bible. And it has come. And here's another thought. Everybody hates it so much. There's got to be a reason other than, why can this not be considered just one of the other 300 versions of the Bibles that are out there? No, they compare them all to this one, and they get mad when this one talks, when this one is brought up in conversation. And even the King James guys, they won't go so far as to rightly divide it according to Paul. They'll rightly divide it according to Ruckman. Or they'll rightly divide it according to their school they went to. The simplicity of turning to Paul exposes the tribulation books for what they are. Tribulational doctrine, and everything falls into place. But they won't do that. So in Revelation 19, when he shows up, they don't know his name. What's his name? The Word of God. But no man knew that name. Oh, there's something to that. When he shows up, this world will not even know his name. And what's his name? The Word of God. They will have no concept, no thoughts, no ideas about anything called the Word of God. They'll have their religion. They'll be following this Antichrist. They'll be following this beast. They'll be following this false prophet that comes ahead of time and gets everybody psyched up and prepped up, because in Isaiah and Ezekiel, the devil wants to be worshipped. He wants to be like the Most High, and that's what everybody's going to put him up to. So when he comes back in Revelation chapter 6, they're going to think that, well, that's the Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, religious and non-religious music lovers out there, that's not the risen Savior. You are duped. And it is only in a King James Bible that you can find that out. Remember, NIV Bible for Ephesians 1:13 tells you that you need to take a mark to be a Christian. The Message Bible says you need to have that signet, and you'll get what you got coming. And yes, you will get what you have coming. What is it that you have coming? Well, the few minutes we have left of this Monday program, let's look at some of these things here. Do you think you're miserable now? Listen to this in Matthew 24, verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Don't we recognize some of this stuff is starting to take place more than ever before? Well, sure, but listen to the rest of that verse. All these are the beginning of sorrows. That's just the beginning. But if we have the risen Savior for our salvation, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Not to Jesus' teachings to the Jews. That's the law. And Jesus was there to fulfill the law. If they wanted to be him, they just had to follow him, give up everything they had, and follow him and walk in his footsteps. In the tribulation, they're going to have to walk in his footsteps. Well, we've been over that. We'll show you some more here. So even though I don't know about anybody else out there, the Webb family's listening in, we have nothing to worry about. Things aren't going to be pretty right now. We already know that. The government going global, education going global, health is going global. Everything is going global. They just got to tie in China, Japan, Korea, this oil issue. You folks should know by now what that's all about. I'll leave that alone. I'm not an expert on that one. I can send you to somebody who is. This whole thing is coming together, folks. Are we worried about it? No. God has not appointed us to wrath as a Christian. But we know what's coming. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You read that in a different Bible. It's shameful, what they say. Oh, let me just get out this one right here. I'll dig it off my shag and read it to you. We're looking at 2 Corinthians 5:11. Let me show you something. Those that haven't heard this, maybe. 2 Corinthians 5:11 in NIV Bible. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. King James Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. It's not about how much we fear the Lord. It's about his terror. He's God. Well, what kind of a God would have that kind of terror? Well, the kind of God that when he gives his only begotten son to the world and the world kills him, what do you expect him to do? It's just like all these people that are robbing stores and then they get mad because they get arrested or somebody accidentally gets killed or whatever in the scuffle that goes on. And then they get mad. What do you expect us to do? Hand you the stuff from the stores? I mean, this world is going insane, just like Christianity is going insane. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord is different than, well, we know how much you fear the Lord. Well, apparently not very much. But the terror of the Lord, how we understand that. Revelation talks about that. 2 Thessalonians talks about that. Matthew talks about that. That's the Word of God. That's Jesus Christ. That's God manifest in the flesh. But when that tribulation shows up and Christ himself shows up, they won't even know his name. They'll have no clue. Yet their lives would be miserable. Talk about sorrows. Okay, so what are some things that you're going to have to deal with during this tribulation? Well, I already told you all the doctrinal teachings that will be going on. Here's some other things for you to consider. Here's a tough one. You will absolutely have to put up with the brethren. You will have to love them, no matter what. And if there's anything I have learned since I became a Christian, since I got a hold of a King James Bible, since I was a pastor, and since I got a hold of rightly dividing, and want to tell people, like Paul says, the more abundantly he loves people, the less he is loved. He is considered the enemy because Paul tells them the truth. The truth of what? That Jesus Christ was risen and saw Paul face to face a number of times and told him to teach the Gentiles the material that is in this King James Bible. He's hated. And the Christians treat him like dirt. And the Christians, the brethren as such, whether they're true brethren or not, whether they're body of Christ or not, they will have to take care of each other, love each other. And I've seen brethren hate each other, pick at each other, judge each other. Like they haven't even read the Bible. They have no idea what it is to be a Christian brother to somebody. It's been probably one of the biggest things I've noticed as a Christian, as a pastor, is how the brethren can't get along, and yet the lost world that's out there, the place where I work, the people I'm amongst, the people we are around, most cases take care of each other better, respect each other better, allow different thinkings, They allow that. They somehow don't allow the King James guys, but maybe the King James guys have been nothing but mouthy and rude, thinking they need to act like Jeremiah. And they got this pride, this conceit, because they don't understand rightly dividing. By the way, that's in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 25, I think that's the verse. They don't understand the situation between the circumcision and the uncircumcision, the Jews and the Gentiles, then you get a conceited religion. And that's what people have. But the lost world out there, many times, they're some of the best people you can be around. And I said for a long time, good people go to hell. It's the bad people that go to heaven. Meaning, if a person's bad enough to realize he truly is a sinner and truly needs the risen Savior through a King James Bible rightly divided, and he understands his situation, he'll make it to heaven based on Jesus' faith. But these good people, they just think they're good enough. They don't need Christ. They don't need a God. They don't need this. They're doing fine. They'll end up in hell. Kind of a backwards thought, isn't it? Well, we're running out of time for this first program. Let's get down to this one point here. You'll have to put up with the brethren, even love them. Oh, and it's serious, too. 1 John, these are all tribulation of books. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. None. Okay? But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. It gets tougher. Listen to this. We know that we have passed from death unto life. This is 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. We know that we have passed from death to life. We know we're saved, in other words, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervent. Now, that is a sincere love of the brethren. Now, I know there's some folks out there that say they love the brethren that much. They love them so much, they ignore their walk. They ignore their bad example. They don't mark them like they're supposed to if they don't follow Paul's doctrine. Really? Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. This is Paul's teachings now. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. We have to walk among the brethren, so we are not chargeable. We still have to be that good Christian. Look into Paul's teachings. Verse 9, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work, and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Now listen to this verse. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, these are Paul's, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. That's totally different than what John and Peter teach in the tribulation of books. If you don't love that guy, and if you're not there all the time and just put up with him and just be a brother, you're probably not even a Christian. Remember, the tribulation is a perfect walk. Not taking the mark, but obeying the commandments. And the commandments are to love your brother. And in 2 Thessalonians, Paul teaches, there's sometimes we need to step away from our brother. Now, he's not telling us not to love him, but he's telling us to step away from him. There is a difference there still. Interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. Oh, we can do one more verse. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We got a few seconds here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're getting there. We're getting there. My page is so worn I can't flip them like I used to be able to. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. I wrote out, this is fabulously interesting, folks. Again, this is probably why people hate the King James Bible. Now listen to this. This is ultra fabulous, amazing. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. You can't stay away from fornicating people. You can't stay away from covetous people. You can't stay away from extortioners. I believe that today's modern pastor is an extortioner, preaching guilt to get you to give money. Or with idolaters. Because he says if you're going to try to not have company with those people, then you must needs go out of the world. You have to leave this planet, you know. He says, but now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, an idolater, or a railer, it's an argument guy, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. Wow. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? I mean, what's the point in judging them that are without? They've already got God's judgment coming. But do not ye judge them that are within? That's the Christian world there. But them that are without, God judges. Now, here's that statement. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. What wicked person? The brother who's a fornicator, he's covetous, which pretty much includes almost anybody, it looks like. An idolater, a railer, a drunkard, extortioner. Not to have eat. Put away from yourselves that wicked person. That's a different teaching that you're going to get in the tribulation. So these people that are just loving and hugging the brethren, no matter what they're doing in their lives, that really isn't the way it's supposed to be. We need to be there for them, and we need to show them. We need to not judge them as such. We need to judge their work, Romans chapter 14. Maybe they are of little faith. Maybe they don't know a whole lot yet. There's all sorts of bunny trails to go down along those lines. But Paul, bottom line, says, listen, if you've got a brother who's doing such and such and such and such and such and such, don't even eat with him. You can do what you can to try to reach to him, but eventually, you've got to walk away. And we will talk about that also, by the way, folks, before we close this program up on December 23rd. I'll try to get that in. What do we do for the person out there that's an other person? How does Paul teach us to deal with these folks? That's what we'll talk about one of these programs pretty soon here. Well, we got to close this thing up. We went right down to the last minute. We will talk to you again on Tuesday.